Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, time for our mental health chat. We're speaking about the future of mental health in corporate policies. Now, corporate policies once focused only on compliance and performance. Now, mental health is becoming part of the equation, and it will only grow in importance. The future of work will belong to organizations that embed well-being into their very policies, not just perks. All right. So Juan Royf is joining us once again from the Vista Clinic to speak to us about this very important subject. Juan, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, good morning. Thanks again for having me.
All right. Now, Juan, how have corporate policies on mental health evolved in recent years?
It's quite a few, and I'm speaking more or less worldwide, not always locally, but there are companies that are doing this kind of stuff. What we used to have was workplace policies were about rules, productivity, legal compliance, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we've seen rising in many countries and locally, many companies, organizations do this, that where they support mental health. And they've recognized that it is essential for performance and also employee retention. A lot of the sort of newer policies include stuff like mental health leave. You have, where possible, flexible work options, guidelines for workload management.
Right.
And then also stronger protection against bullying and burnout and in that line, which is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
What's great about it is it's starting to show that, you know, mental health is not on the back burner. It's not a nice to have.
Right.
It's actually something that is strategically being placed as part of the organization's day-to-day and culture, which is, as I say, really great.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And why would you say embedding mental health into policy is more effective than offering those once-off programs?
Well, I'm sure you've done this where there's some other awareness campaign or whatever it is, and what we used to do or what we tend to do is, oh, I'll go to the next one, or I'm really busy, so I can't be bothered right now.
Yeah.
So you didn't sort of catch everybody. And that needed to change. So again, where it's becoming part of policy, where it's becoming part of culture, it's a daily experience. It's a daily occurrence. It's in the mind all the time.
Yeah.
And a consistent thing. And the long term, you start planning long term and can have long term goals with regards to mental health. It also tends to where you now have a more of a catch-all. Everybody gets involved. We spoke the other day about your champions and so on, and they sort of start to grow as well.
Yeah.
And it's possible now to put policies in place. It's possible for the employee to sort of turn around and say, hey, this is policy. This is something we need to do let's be nice and say when it's forgotten or overlooked.
Yeah. And I do find that those once-off programs and events are, I mean, best case scenario, they're forgettable. Like, it's good while it's happening, but you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who feels the impact 2 weeks later or a month later if it's just going to be this, you know, annual or biannual event.
That's right. And, you know, people tend to take away what they can or what affects them, and you sort of tend to find, you know, what did they say at that thing? Oh, I can't really remember.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for some people, it's just an hour off work.
Exactly.
Where they all, rather than listening to whatever's being said.
Yeah. Yeah. And how can corporate policies balance flexibility with fairness across employees?
Well, I know we've sort of touched close to this, and it's a repetitive answer, but clear, transparent guidelines, knowing exactly what is in place, what can and can't be done, knowing how decisions are made, how did we get to this, what the expectations are. If that's clear, transparent, and everybody knows what's going on, then I have an expression that if I know the rules, I can play the game. And this is very true here.
Yeah.
The moment I know the policies, the moment I know what is being expected and how I can work within those parameters, I can then work with it and also take care of that sort of balance. And the other thing is that people tend to start feeling, what can I say, treated more fairly, they feel more supported. And as we have said before, they sort of feel more safe, which is kind of key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the moment you're unsafe in a work environment, a lot of things start falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And this sort of just pushes that back and has the opposite effect, which again is really great. And for the life of me, I can't understand that there are still companies out there that don't see this.
Yeah, for sure. And what role will remote and hybrid work play in shaping future policies, do you think?
Well, the longer it runs and the more we have it in place and the more people get used to it, you know, we sometimes can be behind the rest of the world. So
to speak.
But the more it's part of daily routine, the more it becomes daily policy, it will change. And has done so, sort of stress levels, the nature of stress, actually, you know, where your stressors are coming from. It helps with connection. It will, again, it's shown over and over where productivity will actually be better. And I want to make a distinction there where productivity isn't necessarily more.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen, but better. Because of, I mean, think about it. If I'm less stressed, I feel safe at work,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give a better result. So, yeah, future policies, if we sort of look forward, I don't have a crystal ball, but this is sort of what the data shows, is we'll now have to start just moving the focus and say, now we need to make sure that we're not digitally overloaded.
Right.
We now have to sort of take the work-life boundaries because, okay, you've got flexible hours, you've got flexible work environment, et cetera, et cetera. It's when I said to you, I think about a week ago, that now comes back, yes, to the organization, but it also comes back to the individual to say, I've got these freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
I must now manage. I don't know about you, but while I was studying, I left everything to the last minute because nobody's watching.
Guilty as charged.
So we have sometimes a similar thing happening with, you know, as long as the work is done, the deadline is met, I'm not going to watch you. So I've given you that freedom. I'm not going to watch you. Okay, so I leave everything until 99 and then I do an overnighter.
Yeah.
And now I'm dead because I can't open my eyes. So the individual will have to make sure that they manage that correctly for themselves. And sometimes, and perhaps we need to now sort of, can I call it retrain people, reframe that focus into how do we break things up? How do we make sure that we don't overdo it?
Mm-hmm.
Remote health support is going to become a big thing
mm-hmm.
where it's in my planning, I can plan a remote health support, a remote talk, something like that. Of course, now we will also have to start looking at how are we going to balance and make equal opportunities for the guys who can't work out of the office
right.
and the guys that can. So these kind of things are actually made pushing the boundaries a little, which is great. For organizations to look at their policies,
mm-hmm.
redesign them, reshape them. And again, where well-being is everywhere. And
yeah.
it's not an optional extra, it's part of the game.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And how can employees push for stronger mental health policies within their organizations? Is there anything they can do?
Well, yeah. The first thing to do is collective always works better than individual.
Mm-hmm.
And for most, can I call it CEOs? If you go to most guys in upper management, you need to have your ducks in a row. So get a collective, get everybody to speak the same language,
mm-hmm.
And then come with proof, come with statistics, come with evidence. Don't sort of the work on the feelings. As much as they are important when it comes to writing policy, it needs to be based on something. So if you are pushing for change, if you are pushing for better mental health policies, you need to see the whys and the hows and what it's all about. And if a little note, I don't know, I'm not a pro in that particular field, but mm-hmm. if you want to bring change about and you want to push it, then show the company how it can actually benefit them. As we've spoken, it will better your bottom line. It will better your productivity.
Mm-hmm.
So as I say, evidence is key and sort of working together is key. And then just go about it. One of the things I always say to people, don't try and change a 5-year-old policy in one day. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So respectful over a period of time, it doesn't have to be years, but over a period of time, will eventually lead to real policy improvements. As long as you can base it, on evidence as to showing the organization the benefits. It doesn't have to be all about money, but if you can show benefits, people generally will listen.
Got it. Well, thank you so much, Ron. Always appreciate your time. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, you too.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.